Today, a spotlight on Redfern. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And just before I start, a quick reminder that on Tuesday, Tony LeCantro from Alto Capital will be on our live show at 8 p.m. Sydney. And we're going to be discussing the property market and, very importantly, the small cap sector of the stock market, which, of course, is something that Tony's very close to. So we'll get his sense as to what's going on, whether the markets are overvalued or whether everything is fine. And you can ask a question live, of course, by the YouTube chat or send it through beforehand via the DFA blog. The links are below. I look forward to seeing you there on Tuesday. As you may know, I've been researching data on specific postcodes so that I can have individual conversations with people who follow me. And I've had a number of very enjoyable and hopefully informative conversations over the last few weeks. But as I go forward, I thought I'd start just sharing some of that intelligence a little more widely, because all the information seems to me to be highly indicative of what's really going on in the property market. And so today, I'm going to talk a little bit about Redfern. Now, I should just remind you, of course, that these conversations and indeed this information is not financial advice in any way whatsoever. It's just based on my research, and it really is just meant to help people understand more about what is going on in the property market. So let me just start by reminding you that this information comes from our core market model, which includes a lot of information from our household service, which we run all the time, as well as other information sources to be able to actually report on information down to a postcode level. And then using the various information sources, including mortgage stress and price trajectory and buying and selling intentions and migration statistics and even broader economic statistics, and filtering it through our various scenarios, we can come up with a view of where home prices may be going down at a postcode level. Now, I'm going to talk about Redfern. Here is an overall map. And, of course, we have the railway running south out of Sydney, and it's in the area here with the Redfern Park in the middle of it. This is an alternative view, which is just looking at it in a slightly different way. And I've turned it through 90 degrees to make the point that Redfern Park sort of sits in the middle. There's a lot of high concentration developments in and around Redfern. And, of course, we also know that there are a lot of students and other education facilities in the area too. More of that anon. Now, there are also some quite pleasant streets around Redfern, if you're selective. And we're going to look at both houses and units in the area. And at the moment, there are around 35 properties for sale in the Redfern area. And here are just a few examples. What I wanted to highlight was that there are a number of auctions, both scheduled and recently passed. Interestingly, many agents prefer auctions because they're able to command initial fees up front from vendors. Sometimes, though, auctions may not be the very best way to go at the moment. But also notice that quite a few properties are available by negotiation. Now, this is an important signal suggesting the market is relatively weak insofar that they don't want to scare people off by quoting a specific price. They want to get a conversation started. And in fact, if you go down the list, there's quite a few for auction and contact agent. And by negotiation. Now, in terms of sold properties, 35 properties sold in the last couple of months. And you can see the distribution there. And again, just a range, some by auction, quite a few quoting last asking price. Of course, it takes time for the data to flow back through from the official sources. So very often the online portals don't have the latest information about what the settlement price might have been. And I'm showing here both houses and apartments. You can see it's quite varied. And there's also quite a few where they prefer to show the inner view rather than the view from outside. That tells you something about the location. Maybe it's on a main road. Maybe it looks rather shabby on the outside. Always interesting to ask why they're showing an internal view as the main view. And of course, if you have a decent view, you may well show that instead. Now, in terms of current prices, this is the data from our modelling. And we'll look at houses first. So in 2013, the average house price was around $925,000. And then it went up by 10.8% in 2014. It went up 29.3% in 2015. It went up 5.7% in 2016. It went up 19.6% in 2017. It fell by pretty much the same amount, 19.4% in 2018. Went up slightly in 2019, and went up by 5.5% in the early months of 2020 to 1.45 million. Now, I will say that more recently, prices have started to ease back. More about that in a moment. And here is the unit information. So back in 2013, it was around 610,000, went up by 18.9% in 2014, 9.7% in 2015, 3.8% in 2016, 17% in 2017, down 4.1% in 2018, up 2.7% in 2019, and down 2.6% in 2020. So the average price for units, and of course it varies, one, two, or three bedrooms, but the average price in median terms is around $925,000. Now, you can get information from the New South Wales Valuer General. And it's quite interesting just looking at the information that is coming out. So, for example, I did a quick query from the 1st of May to the 6th of September 2020. We'll start with units. And you can see that there were a number of properties reported as sold with the transaction date and the purchase price. And if you actually calculate the median of units, it comes very close to my current figure. But I'd also want to make the point that if you look down the list carefully, you can see that the sale date was, well, July, 17th of July, or the 21st of July. So this information is flowing now, but it actually relates to sales back in July. And that's one of the key points I want to make today, that the information relating to recent sales is very vague for at least a couple of months. And in fact, until settlement has actually been processed and the report passed to the New South Wales authorities, and then the authorities actually report it, we are in the dark as to many prices. In fact, a lot of prices are not disclosed. Now, you might well ask, well, how then do the indices deal with that? Well, some indices have access to real estate information, ostensibly put in the system at the time the sale was made, but actually selectively so. Other indices are lagged at least by a couple of months, and yet they often don't disclose that. So be careful with the indices. And we can also look at houses, again, from the Valuer General. Same query from the 1st of May to the 6th of September 2020. And the dates of the transactions, well, early July, 20th of July, 17th of May, 15th of June. And there's also something else here which is worth pointing out, that there was a medical centre also sold and listed by the New South Wales government in the houses column. And that was sold for $11 million. Now, if you were to include that in the median calculation, you would be inflating all of the information for the postcode. But of course, I remove it. And once I've done so, the median price is again very, very close to the data in my models, which is quite a good validation because it shows that with our approach is actually working. Now, let's just talk about the current listings for 2016. There are around 55 currently listed, with 35 added in the past month. Back in May 2019, there were a smaller number, around 46. And generally, there are more units than houses available, around 45% houses. Now, gross yields are around 3.6% for units and 3.2% for houses. Now, there's a slight fall from 4% for units and 3.7% for houses compared with last year. But the net yield in both cases is just over 2%, and the net yield, that includes rental income, all the other costs, strata costs, all the management fees, it's around 2%. The rents for houses in the area are down about 1.1% in the past quarter, while units have dropped 4.7% over the quarter to around $570 a month. Now, one of the things that has really changed is that the demand from students, because this area was very much one frequented by many students, including international students, demand is significantly down. And as a result of that, the vacancy rate's around 3.4%, compared with just 0.5% in 2018. And there are around 170 vacancies reported currently, compared with just 21 in 2019. So you can perhaps surmise that many of those investment properties are left vacant at the moment or are underwater when it comes to rents being paid. And that translates through to asking prices, which are on average falling at the moment, with a typical house price around $1.3 million, and that's down around 26% over the quarter, with units down around 11.2%, with a typical asking price for units of around $870,000. Now, what's interesting is that the average settlement price, which is where the deal is done, is around 8% lower than the asking price, and that gap is getting bigger. And we're also seeing in our surveys that the intention to sell is rising, and it's driven predominantly by property investors. Now, to understand that, we can look at our stress data from our surveys. So there's around 7,200 households, of which 1,500 are borrowing, 5,200 are renting, and there are nearly 4,000 properties for rent in the postcode. And the number of rental property owners, so they're people living in the area with an investment property somewhere, is just over 2,200. And of all those households, around 67% registered as in financial stress in our surveys. Now, if we look at home owners, we find that only a small proportion, around 314, are in mortgage stress. And that translates to around a 20% rating, which is well below the national average. And the risk of defaults about normal at around 2%. But rental stress is running at 58%. And there, more than 3,000 people renting are having difficulty with their rental repayments. And in addition, stressed investors in the area are also registering, with 74% of investors in the postcode having a negative or close to negative cash flow on their investment property. And by the way, we measure investor stress both in cash flow terms and also in taking account occupancy or the lack of it, and also whether they are trying to sell their property or not. Now, that tells me that the key drivers here for what's happening to property is in the investment sector. And what I find fascinating is that one or two of the properties that sold recently, which were units, sold above the asking price, then came onto the listings for rental, and the rentals were quite a lot lower. So my quick calculation was they're actually going to have difficulty making a return on the property they just bought. Seems a bit crazy to me to be buying in at this time, but there you go. Some people will do that. Now, let me just talk about price scenarios. So the first is just looking at our overall chart, which again shows the three scenarios. So the top line is our best case, which suggests that over the next 12 months, prices may drop somewhere between 5 and 7%, drop a little further in the next year after that, and then rise slightly. Now, that is assuming that the virus gets under control, the economy gets unlocked, and we get a bit of a bounce back. And that must also assume the international borders are opened and students come back into town, and therefore demand for rental property increases. Now, the negative scenario is a drop of closer to 17% over the next 12 months, followed by a further drop over the next 2 years to just under 35%. And that's based on the assumption that we don't get shot of the virus, that the economy continues to struggle, and as a result of that, unemployment stays very high for longer. This will be slightly worse than the Reserve Bank's worst-case scenario, but pretty close to it, actually. And my midpoint is a three-year fall of 21.8% on average in the postcode. Now, that includes units and houses, and in fact, units tend to drop more relative to houses, partly because of the relative supply and demand equilibrium, and partly because units just are more volatile. So with that in mind, we can look now at the forward projections for the average price for units. And we're suggesting that over the next 12 months, in our mid case, we're going to see a 15% fall, followed by a 7.9% fall, followed by a 4.6% fall. And if that's true, that would put prices back to where they were in 2013-14. Now, if you take a more bullish view of the economy, then the falls won't be so dramatic. And then finally, we can look at houses in the same area. And there the falls are not so severe, but we are still expecting a 9.2% fall over the next 12 months, followed by a 4.7% fall, followed by a 2.1% fall. And that would put prices back to where they were in 2014-15. Now, if that scenario is anything like right, and bearing in mind that a lot of the property here is investment property, that means that a number of property investors are going to be considerably underwater. So to conclude, if I were thinking of purchasing in Redfern at the moment, I wouldn't be doing this as a property investor. I don't think that property investment in that postcode makes any sense at all at the moment. And I do expect to see more property coming onto the market over the next few months. But if I was thinking of buying for owner occupation, simply because of its locale to the centre of Sydney and its convenience in terms of all the services that are there, and if you see the right property, then, well, it still might be worth considering. But bear in mind that prices may well fall further from here. And so I don't think there is any burning platform. And it's probably worth taking your time and considering options really carefully. Now, I had a chance to chat to a couple of agents in the area about Redfern. And one was extremely bullish, but the other one was more realistic, saying, yep, there is definitely something going on. Momentum is definitely slowing. And prices are definitely on the ease. So I think my read on the market is probably reasonably accurate. But of course, you should do your own research. But I hope this also underscores another point, that the information which flows back into the property portals can quite often be several months old, because when new transactions are actually made, they don't necessarily appear until the process has gone through, the property is settled, and the valuer general data is made available. And my final observation here, which, by the way, I'll be discussing with Edwin tomorrow in our Monday rant show, is that there is a disconnect between what the portals may be telling you about what's happening and what is really happening on the ground. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.